We are listener supported. One Radio Network. Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Alrighty, it is part two of Adam Bergstrom, Yes, No, Maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition. Adam's here on the first Monday of the month. It's one of my favorite days because it's great fun. Talking to a dear friend, Adam Bergstrom, who we've been doing this show once a month for a very long time. Oh, Adam, I think we're going in about 9 years, brother. Jeez, man, I tell you what. 9 years, is that possible?
Yeah.
Is that possible? Is that possible? So we really appreciate you coming on. Where did you live way back when we started in 2008? You weren't out there in Montecito, were you?
On that ranch out there in Fayetteville, Texas.
How are you doing? Oh.
600 and something acres. A good friends of mine owned that ranch at that time, and that's where Master Chen came out and did his seminars and everything, so it was pretty cool. I was basically the watchman, so I lived on that 640-acre ranch all by myself in a building that would look like, Frank Lloyd Wright built it or something.
I'll be darned.
It had multiple, it was basically a resort center with stables for 111 stables, swimming pool for the horses, a big 12-foot deep swimming pool right down the spiral staircase from the building, and a magnificent view. So I would just ride my bicycle around in the nude all over the property and be all by myself. Only when the workmen came to do some kind of job, or when the my friend bought it after Hurricane Katrina.
Uh-huh.
His family was affected by it, and he wanted a place for them to escape. So during holidays, huge family gatherings would occur, but otherwise I was pretty much alone.
Wow, 600 acres.
600 acres. My friend Jimmy Savadu has something like 14 brothers and sisters, and his wife has a whole bunch of brothers and sisters. So the extended families got pretty huge. They would have separate family gatherings for New Year's and for Christmas because they couldn't accommodate all of them, even at a ranch with multiple buildings and all kinds of multiple bedrooms and sleeping space.
I have an email that you sent in from during open phones, and I just wanted to go over this just a little, because we get a lot of questions on this. It's crazy. You say here, and I think you wrote this a few weeks ago, Adam says, I have some gray hairs too, so it's still beyond my pay grade exactly why the hair gets gray. Gray hair switches one type of melanin for another. The answer surely involves melanin chemistry. Iron overcoming copper and zinc is also involved. Shock is a major factor. He said, my neighbor had brain surgery and her white hair turned black when her head was shaved. That's really funny. I had a dream last night where I was in Norway, and it was really a fun dream. I won't tell you the whole dream, but part of the dream was I was looking in the mirror, and my hair was totally, totally dark with not one gray hair. It's a sign.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a sign. As
it,
I say,
it actually could be a sign.
Oh, I think it is. Like
they
say, yeah, Sleepless in Seattle. It's a sign. It's a sign.
You know, my neighbor who had that surgery, so her hair turned black, and then it gradually turned back again because she didn't maintain whatever happened. There was a man who fell into the fireplace with his bald head and burned his head, and all his hair grew back.
And you can see pictures of presidents, right? Look at Obama and other presidents, totally dark hair, you know, 4, 8, 6 years later, they got gray hair. So I'm sure stress has something to do with it, or, you know, our bomb karma, whatever, you know, could be bomb.
What was the famous singer, Della
Reese?
Della Reese, yeah. Her hair turned gray overnight when her mother died.
I heard that.
Yeah. I heard her on an interview say, and she said, "But people say it can't be done. It happened to me.
Yeah.
The day my mother died." And then she said when she was writing her autobiography, she started sobbing. And since her mother had died like 20 or 30 years before, she was amazed that that could happen. But I've seen it. I've seen people release something 50 years after the traumatic event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a good friend of mine who was a pilot for 20 or 30 years, Eastern, totally white hair. He's 80 revs around the sun, healthy as a horse. This guy's part Indian. He could eat a car, you know, and just digest it. I mean, it's amazing the stamina of this fellow. Anyway, totally white hair, and I he was a pilot, and he told me, we were talking about his white hair, and he's never messed with it. It's just been white for so long that he doesn't even think of it. And he said that there's a lot of pilots that have lots and lots of white and gray hair, so it could be something with the radiation up there in the sky too, I guess. I don't know.
More likely with the stress level,
because
actually get less radiation up there than you do at sea level.
Oh, well,
that's actually incorrect about that.
So much for that, right?
Yeah.
So much for that.
Yeah, the gamma ray is more powerful when it comes down to sea level. Up there, see, the gamma ray is not the problem. The really dangerous rays are the alpha rays, and they make that seem like, oh, there's nothing wrong with an alpha ray. But an alpha particle actually gets into your body and stays broadcasting like a radio station, constantly releasing radiation. A gamma ray comes right through you. So it causes the damage it does, the size of the ray. Maybe it gets one DNA particle or something like that, which doesn't affect anything. And meanwhile, the alpha particle is in you, constantly letting out energy.
So,
and they've got it reversed. They say, ooh, the alpha particle is okay. Watch out for those gamma rays.
So this whole idea that we get a lot of radiation when we fly, and it's the reason people feel so terrible, is just an optical collusion and a made-up thing on the Internet.
Yep. Basically, your alpha particle is like the bullet. Your beta particle is like the smoke during the shot. And the flash is your gamma particle.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the only thing you can really be sure on the Internet is to go to Al Gore's site, and I'm sure that's,
yeah,
that's not fake news, right? Oh, poor Al. Give Al such a hard time. Oh, well. So,
his ex-wife is still living up here in Carpinteria, in Montecito, so he still visits here.
Well, you be nice, because Al's going to come over. Well, we get this question about every 3 days. High floaters. I think you've covered it before, but you generally think it's a toxicity thing, or it's the way you're actually looking as well.
The focus can fix it, but trauma is involved in how we focus. Like as those exercise books show, what was his name? The Bates Method.
Yeah, the Bates Method.
You can actually throw your glasses away by doing those exercises, and yet they tell you that your eye is frozen in a certain position,
right,
and you can't unfix it.
Right.
Well, if you're nearsighted, that's a bladder problem, a urinary bladder problem, and if you are farsighted, and then you have a gallbladder problem. So it's directly associated with those two meridians. The urinary bladder is on the inside of the eye by the canthus, and the outside of the eye is the gallbladder meridian, and they control your eyesight. So it's a systemic problem, not a local problem.
Right. So when you do glasses, it's totally a symptomatic issue. Totally.
In fact, going through the colors like that can actually heal your eyesight. A good friend of mine, Anka Maria Nowicki, took the workshop on color where you go through a color cycling. The man escapes me now. He's become a Zen guy now. He moved to Hawaii and isn't doing optometry anymore. But anyway, she did the color, and he said, throw away your glasses. She said, throw away my glasses? Yeah, you don't need them anymore. So she threw them away.
Yeah,
and she only wears them now for really small print and things like that to this day. And that was about 20 years ago.
You know, I had this little blood clot in my right eye, 15 years ago. And so my right eye is blurry, but it's never gotten worse. I actually feels like it's getting better. 15 years ago. And if you think it's an eye thing, well, all you got to do is put on a pair of pinhole glasses, which I have here for a very small print, you know, and you can see like clear as a bell. So is there anything wrong with the eye? No, you're looking through a little hole. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean?
Yep. Usually eyes are systemic. That's why, I forget the name of the guy now. I believe he's the strongest man in the world right now. He advertises himself, but he has 20/11 in both eyes because his systemic strength is used for his eyesight too.
Oh, I'll be done. So gallbladder is, if you can't see up close, so you want to work on the gallbladder.
Yep.
And what's the emotion?
Well, if you can see far away but not up close, yeah. But when you have trouble seeing up close, then it's a urinary bladder problem.
Oh, urinary.
Yep. You have both the gallbladder and both the bladders tie into the eyes. They're both like spheres, and that's why spherical food like bilberries and blueberries or cherries are good for the eyes.
Oh, I'll be
the cherries you would eat in the morning, and the berries in the middle of the day, and anything round, basically. This is called geometric body resonance, or the doctrine of signatures, mm-hmm. things that mm-hmm. look alike are alike. You've seen all that stuff on the internet where the heart looks like a four-chambered pepper, the carrot looks like an eye, too. Carrots are good for that. Mm-hmm. The cross-section mm-hmm. looks just like an eye.
Yeah, it sure does. Boy, cut open a carrot, and you look at that little baby, it's like, whoa.
Yep. So those associations, if it looks like something, now by scientists today, they consider that magic, you know, that primitive idea.
Well, they'll burn you at the stake for this kind of talk, brother.
And that's why ginseng is like the whole person. It looks like a whole person, as does mandrake root. So they actually work more systemically.
Have you ever messed around with ginseng? You know, Brandon Amalani, who's got this Shen Blossom we promote on our site, he has 50-year-old ginseng, and if you want to pay up, he can get you 100 that they actually do with authentic way of doing it. It takes a couple weeks just to make it. Long time, because they ferment it and they use sake and not alcohol. It's really, and I'm taking some of it, and I tell you what, there's something pretty magical about the real thing. And I tell people, if you're going to get some ginseng, don't get it at the gas station with a little shot of ginseng for $4. You know, get some stuff that's really real, and we can get it on Shen Blossom. This is authentic. Have you ever messed around with ginseng much? I haven't either. This is really the first time in my life I've ever taken it.
I messed around with it in the 80s, and the wild ginseng is especially energetic, how they find it. You go out in the dark at nighttime, and it glows in the dark.
No kidding.
That's why a wild ginseng root can cost, the most expensive one I knew of in the 80s was $25,000.
Really?
I don't know what the going price is now.
Really?
You know, that's like been like, 30-something years ago.
Yeah. Brandon was telling me that he had to be real careful about how he talked about it, because the people that make this and all that, it's so much, so many spiritual aspects to it that they don't want to really talk about exactly how they do it and talk about it with, they don't like it to be really commercial and all this. Isn't it cool? I mean, the people that are really into these sacred herbs and roots and you know, superfoods, they're really into it. And it's just cool, you know, when people are taking it to that level, isn't it? Pretty neat.
Eating is a spiritual experience, and that's why Swami Nitty Gritty said that instead of meditating, all you had to do is eat on time, and you didn't have to meditate. Meditation was one way of gaining enlightenment, but not the only way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always thought that pizza was a spiritual experience for me. I don't know. I tell you what, if you go, you know, go to Italy, and boy, you should go now or go this summer. I mean, the dollar is really strong, and the euro is like really punky, and boy, they've got some restaurants throughout Italy, little pizza places all over the place, and you go in there and they make this pizza with real old star kind of flour kind of thing. And mostly just fresh tomatoes and all that. And they cook it for about 30 seconds in a wood fire oven. And oh, my God. Oh, I mean, that's pizza. I mean, you know, very little cheese and phew, man.
I used to watch the Cooking Channel, and they had this Italian chef
yeah.
that for about a year or so, he toured Italy, and he would do his cooking channel from each of these little towns and demonstrate the local cuisine.
Oh,
it was really great.
I bet, yeah. Was it Mario, the Mario guy? Mario, what's his face? No? I don't
know. Well, I've forgotten his name.
Yeah, it was
But he was very good. One of the cooking shows I used to enjoy.
Here's an email from, let's see. Here's a worried 37-year-old father of three. Oh, okay, let's do that. I possibly got some sort of fluid leaking in my abdominal cavity. I can hear and feel loss of liquid swirling and gurgling activity. Really? Docs have sent me for an MRI scan, and they haven't seen any abnormalities. They've told me that it's a normal digestion sounds, but I know it's not. They won't even listen with a stethoscope for more than 5 seconds. Also, regularly wake up in large intestine time, so it could be a prob there. I also think my stomach and pancreas are not happy. I've had to stop with my cobalamin tonics because that seems to aggravate my condition. What could I do for this situation? A worried 37-year-old father of three. Oh, okay, okay. What do you think, Adam?
Usually, it sounds like over-alkalinity to me, because that tends to develop types of edema, and you don't necessarily have to have it where your legs swell up. It can be in the abdomen alone, but there's some kind of fluid imbalance of some sort. That can actually be addressed through pneumatics. In other words, breathing can actually affect that too. The breathing rate should be investigated. And sometimes the fatty acids, I've talked about yellow fat disease before, and you can get too many omega-3s and omega-6s. When I talk about that, I'm not talking about avoidance. I'm talking about balance, because avoidance usually gets people in trouble, usually a small amount. But I don't recommend a person with a condition like that would supplement with cod liver oil or fish oil, because they could make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying don't eat a fish at night or don't take a sardine, because that can actually help too sometimes because of the mineral profiles in it. In fact, a sardine has the same, it's almost exactly the same as the spermal profile with the arginine level and the mineral level as well, including the sodium level.
So a sardine's a pretty good food.
It's a pretty good food, yes, at nighttime, of course, and then it targets the liver. It's a really good liver and spinal fluid. It's a good way to get calcium for the spine.
I found
the whole sardine when you eat the bones as well.
Yeah, I found a sardine. They even have it at HEB, and it's from some inland big waterway in Poland. So you're not, you know, and it, so it seems, it feels real clean, you know what I mean? Like, and it's the whole sardine. And I'll get the name of that sometime, see if y'all can find it. But kind of inland, kind of a neat idea, so you're away from, you know, from whatever, Fukushima karma, you know.
Yep. The further away, the better.
Do you think, I mean, what's your theory, Armin? What does the science say about potential hazards, you know, of all the dumping of the weird stuff going on in Fukushima and then, you know, affecting Maine seaweeds and stuff? It seems to me that the ocean would be large enough to somehow deal with all of that, but I don't know. That's not scientific. That's just...
It dilutes them so much that when people get a simple x-ray, they're getting about 1,000 times more radiation than they're going to get from Fukushima in this country.
Really?
Not that it doesn't exist. Like, on a rainy day, I used to go out in the rain, but now, if that rain is coming from that direction, the radiation gets dropped in the rain. But that's mostly during the plume, when the plume comes over. Other times, there's not going to be any problem. But when a plume does come over, like when it did from Chernobyl and when it comes from Fukushima, then it's not a good idea to go out and play in the rain anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's perfectly safe. I don't have any problem. And the animals that are dying out here on the Pacific are mostly dying from poisons in the algae.
We're having an outbreak
of that again. Seals and sea lions all washing up on the beach here.
Because from the pollution that's coming from the land. our land.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of algaes are toxic, so people have to be careful when they're taking all their different algaes. Mm-hmm. Spirulina can actually fight cancer, but blue-green algae is particularly noted for being toxic. So I have a dear friend that's taken it for 30 years and has had no problems.
Still going, yeah.
It's still, if you look at the chemicals in blue-green algae, there is, if you let blue-green algae go to bloom, a cow can eat it, and they call it drop-dead disease, or before you hit the ground, because the cow will be dead before it hits the ground.
Oh, good. That's
so I'm a little nervous when I took blue-green algae, even though they say it's coming from a pristine, pure lake up there in Oregon. I've seen that lake, and all the timber residue comes into it.
Oh, yeah.
It is anything but pure.
Oh, you're
you
talking
about
that.
Check out the video.
Yeah, you're talking about that Klamath Lake thing.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Didn't want to identify it, but there it is.
That's right.
But, you know, a little bit of everything. And blue-green algae, actually, because it has a higher protein content, is actually a midday algae, freshwater algae, while your spirulina and your chlorella are nighttime algaes.
Which one of your websites has the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious list of all these foods and what time? Didn't I see that somewhere years ago? Is that on SunSync?
SunSync Nutrition. That's the $99
That's one I'm a member of. Okay, so I can get that, right?
You can.
How could I find that? Would that be... So walk me through how I'd find that list.
Okay, I'm not on that right
okay.
now.
Well, that's all right. So, Joe, do you have a search engine thing and would you do
yeah.
foods and time?
It tells you how to get to each one, and you can go to the nighttime foods, the midday foods, and all that. And also, on the blog section, use the search engine we have. I have like about 600 or 700 blogs up there now that go into identifying a lot of that information on your algaes and whatever you want to look up.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm doing a series on reclaiming your superpowers, and I guess we were supposed to talk a little about Swami Nitty Gritty this time, so some people might be disappointed.
Oh, we will before we leave. We will. I'm going to
put it right up.
Let's get through these emails, and we're going to talk about the Swam.
I like the spontaneity, too.
Yeah, I know. It's like, but let's get through these emails. Good morning. Who's this?
Hi, good morning, Patrick and Adam. This is Scott.
Scott.
Hello.
Great Scott.
Hey, I'm calling. I'm a little confused. I listened to you talk about the situation with eyes, and I can see really, really well far away. Challenged when I look up close.
Yeah.
Could you re-clarify what you were saying about the gallbladder and the other organ that's involved with the eyesight briefly, if you could, please?
Well, since they go back and forth, it's good to have both of those meridians clear. Generally, when a person has a urinary bladder problem, they tend to get cataracts. When they have a gallbladder problem, they tend to get glaucoma. And glaucoma is a pressurized. They make it seem like that pressure cannot be released. But you can go right to the corner of the jaw and up and down there and massage that area and actually release the pressure out of the eye. And I used to work building tonometers. Actually, I was the shipping clerk in the tonometer company, but I got it was a very small company, so I got to learn a lot about how cataracts and how glaucoma works. And actually, that pressure can be released by working systemic parts of the body, including the gallbladder meridian and the urinary bladder meridian. So you have pretty good sight then?
Well, except when I'm trying to read small print, you know, it's very challenging. If I get in good light, if I have proper lighting, reading small print isn't a challenge. But without proper lighting, you almost need I need a magnifying glass. But
eating on
stuff far away.
Eating
far
on
away,
time
so
can correct that because I when about the 80s I started needing longer arms to read things and eventually went to glasses. And then mysteriously after eating on time for about 30 years, my eyes started clearing up. So now I'm lazy, so sometimes with small print, I read anyway. It's more relaxing. But I can go to a bookstore now and read, while before I couldn't even read a newspaper without putting those glasses on. All I saw was a blur. But now I can read small print on labels and everything, don't have to bring my glasses. I used to wear them around my neck, you know, so they hung down. Every time I'd hug someone, they would break.
also, great, Scott, as you're healing your eyes with eating more on time and such, as Adam is recommending, you could get some pinhole glasses, and they do not weaken your eyes at all for that real small print. If you want to see if you have any GMO stuff in the pizza you're buying, just kidding. You can just look through those, and they actually strengthen your eyes.
Okay. Look in those meridian points, too. If you get a book like Touch for Health or an acupuncture book, and you can work those points manually because they all tend to be activated through the skin. That's why you can actually use a wet toothpick and have an antenna effect and do the same thing in acupuncture or close to it. Maybe not exactly, but pretty close.
Well, no pun intended, but I will look into those pinholes.
That's a good one.
I like it, great Scott. I like it.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a blessed day.
Thanks a lot.
Great show.
Okay, bye. Okay. By the way,
you can make them yourself. I'm in touch again with a good high school buddy of mine who was an absolute solvent when it came to things. So I explained the pinhole glasses to him. So he took a piece of, he took his sunglasses, broke them out, put in a little, I don't know what kind of material he got, poked holes in it. Mm-hmm. It didn't work because we used white. And if you use white, all you see is the white. You don't see through the hole.
You got to use black.
So he painted them black, and then they worked fine.
Yeah.
The size of the hole will make a big difference. If they're not working for you, get a different size hole, and you'll find out they work even better.
That's cool. And you know what? If I go into a store and they got, you know, these little small ingredient labels, like, you know what I'm saying? They make them as small as they can so you can't read them, right? Who wants to read that stuff? So all you have to do is you take your hand and you put it into a little, you know, like a fist, and you can make a pinhole, which I'm doing right now, and it works the same thing. And you can spot canola oil in a half second, and even if you look at it and it's blurry. I do it all the time at the store. I look through my little fist, and people just look at me like I'm weird.
Back in the day, when my eyes were at their worst, I would do that too. I'd go to phone book and not have my glasses with me, so I'd make that little fist and read one letter at a time.
Actually, you can see the whole word. I get pretty good where you can almost see the whole label. It's amazing. It works. You get really good at it. After a while, you know exactly how to do it, and I use it all the time. And it really doesn't attract girls when you're at the store, but you know, because they think you're a little bonkers. But what can I say? Here's that guy. He's looking through his fist. Oh. Who's that guy? He's looking through his fist. Yeah, I wonder what he's looking at. You know, he's trying to hear the ocean in his fist or something. Okay, so we're going to give you a special. Okay, here's a special investment alert. Okay, so I just came up with this one. This is a divine inspiration that entered my being, but we try to give it all here at One Radio Network, Health, Wealth, and Well-Being. I just saw a big article that Macron is plummeting in the polls as Marie Le Pen enjoys a boost a week away from the election. So Marie is the Donald Trump of France. If she would win, and the polls are showing now she's maybe will win, I would predict, and I don't know what I'm talking about because I just make this stuff up as I go, that the euro is would plummet because she wants to get out of the euro, and the euro would plummet. So you could go short the euro today and probably lose quite a bit of money. Oh, just kidding. What do you think, Adam? You know, we like to do it all here. We like to do it.
Well, my prediction back in December is that
it happens. It happens. Now we go 2 hours. The NSA is now listening for 2 hours before they cut Adam off. It used to be an hour and a half, which means they're getting to like the show more and more. We'll be back. Stephen Buhner, master herbalist, wrote an entire book on pine pollen. Previously, we asked him, what's the difference between gathering some pine pollen, eating that, and then maybe taking Sir Thrival pine pollen and the grape alcohol, the tincture. What's the difference in the body?
Okay, the difference is pine pollen is probably one of the best nutrient food substances on the earth. And you see, it's made to be uptaken by all of the life around it. All of the other plants take it in and use it for growth. Many of the animals eat it, and it's a very nutrient substance. If you eat it, what happens is it goes through your GI tract and then puts it into the bloodstream, and there's a lot of great stuff in it. I mean, it's really high in amino acids and protein and vitamins, so it's a very magnificent substance. It's kind of a nutrient longevity tonic food, and it will over time raise levels, but if you really want to raise them fast, you don't want to let it go through your GI tract, hence the use of a tincture.
And you can click and order this great product right on our website. Any of these are Thrival links. Take you right to the pine pollen and order away. OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously on Open Phones, a listener named Carol called us and told us about a little dog named Camo.
Camo is a little dog, and she's a very old lady. Hadn't fed her anything but just kibble, and sure enough, the dog's just, you know, going the way of poorly fed dogs and just about blind. Her tummy drags the floor, and she's got tumors all over her. She just persists in living, though. About 6 months ago, I gave her owner some sulfur. About 3 weeks ago, she finally gave her some of it. And, you know, Camo's about to die. I guess sulfur won't kill her now. Camo, whose belly had been literally almost draining the floor, she's all slimmed up. And then they said, well, have you noticed Camo's tumors are half the size?
Really?
Ow.
And
on 2 weeks of sulfur? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
It's not just a sulfur story. It's a dramatic sulfur story.
Sulfur appears to make pets and people happy. You can try some. Order right now on OneRadioNetwork.com.
With prevalent economic uncertainty in the United States economy, many investors are looking for safe havens to protect their wealth. One of the best historic investments in the United States has been the acquisition of physical American gold and silver coins. From the 1790s to the 1930s, the United States government issued American money in the form of gold and silver coins available to the general public. You can reach us at SDL Numismatics at 1-800-878-2646. We'll be happy to educate investors on how to acquire American gold and silver coins. Call us today, 1-800-878-2646.
Well, why not do that? That's a cool place to do it. Yep. And if I was on top of my game, I would already have the gold and silver charts up. But, you know, wow. Dollar must be on steroids this morning. Let's do that first. No. The dollar's down and gold and silver down. We have backwardization going on. Andrew Goss will explain why that is. The dollar, gold is down $7. Silver's down a little bit. Platinum's down. Palladium is down. Rhodium is even. We should buy some rhodium. You ever invest in that? Let's see. Oil is down. Stock markets even. I don't know what's going on, but that's about it. If you'd like to talk to Andrew, you can do it at any time. It is Andrew Goss. His company is SDL Incorporated. You know that company. 800-468-2646.
Know the source on One Radio Network.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. It's gonna be bright sunshine.
To talk to Patrick, call 888-663-6386 or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Okay. Yeah. Adam Bergstrom. Boy, Clarence, our musical guy, he's on it today, right? Just the right kind of music. I don't know how he does that. It's just amazing. Adam Bergstrom, Yes, No, Maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition, solartiming.com is his free website, and SunSync Nutrition is the one where you pay a mere 99 Federal Reserve notes for the rest of your life. You do take Federal Reserve notes, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Lately over PayPal.
Yeah, boy, I don't know what we do without PayPal. How do we ever exist without PayPal, man?
I tell you.
Yeah, it's a nice little vehicle, I think. We've never had any issues with it, and it's pretty cool. It's just pretty...
Back in the day, I used to send out 200 or so newsletters, and I had to lick all those stamps and all those
envelopes.
I know.
It's like, yeah, well, we...
It's a lot easier nowadays.
We've come a long way, baby.
Yes, we have.
We've come a long way.
You know, it has its disadvantages and it has its advantages, but it's hard to go back now.
Yeah, yeah. This is a funny email. I just wanted to mention it. That has nothing to do with anything. Louise sent this. I would like to order 6 pounds of sulfur, please, and I live in Oz and have ordered from you before. So I wrote back to her. I said, Dorothy, are you still in Oz, or where do you live? That's funny. I suspect she had a typo. Maybe it's NZ. I don't know. You know where Oz is? That's funny.
It's Australia.
That's Australia?
Yeah, they call it Oz.
O-Z?
Don't ask me why, but they do. O-Z.
I'll be doing. I didn't know that.
Oh, maybe, you know, that's it. You just said it. Probably it's Oz, but it's called Oz. Maybe the sounds are similar.
Oh, see, I've never had, well, I emailed her back and said, tell me where you live, please, because that's funny. What happens, this is from Johnny, he's in San Juan, Puerto Rico. San Juan, PRC, the People's Republic of California. Oh, okay. Is there a San Juan, California? I guess so.
I think there is.
San Juan,
I'm not sure exactly where it is. Seems to me it's up in the Bay Area.
Is it? Well, he says he lives in San Juan, the People's Republic of California. Dear Adam Bergstrom, what happens in an in-person visit with Adam? Should I bring snacks? How do we schedule one? Oh, yeah, somebody wants to come visit.
Well, at this point, I don't have an office, so I go to the person's house within the local area. Now, some people don't want to come up and get a motel or hotel, so I've worked on 3 people in a public park nearby.
Really?
And that's worked out fine. As long as it doesn't rain or anything, we've been lucky so far. But usually if another person got a hotel downtown and stayed the night, it's a beautiful place to visit. There's a lot of people come here just to come to Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be, years ago, I was a taxi driver here, by the way, and I used to love to give people tours of the area. It's the people in this county live 20% longer than any other county in California, by the way.
Which county is that?
Santa Barbara County.
Why do you suppose that is?
No fluoridated water. It's a beautiful place, and just the environment here is a surfer's dream. In fact, the best way to experience it on YouTube is not to go and look up like the travel sites. Go to the surfer sites, and they show the beach views all the way up and down the coast wherever you want. Put in like Sandpiper or Rincon or some of those. You'll see some amazing videos, and you'll see how beautiful the coastline is here.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous. I used to live down about 10 miles from here at Carpinteria, which was the world's safest beach.
Carpinteria.
Yep. And I used to go out there. One time I went 86 days in a row without missing a day of swimming in that ocean.
Why do they call it the world's safest beach?
Because it is. Somehow the currents along the beach here, sometimes you can get in rip tides and currents and things like that and take you right out to sea. Mm-hmm. And experienced swimmers can drown that way.
Really?
Yeah. And that, too. There are sharks.
I don't know about going in the ocean, you know. I don't know about... okay, Clarence, that's enough. Clarence getting carried away.
Then there's another danger. A good friend of mine about a year ago got bitten by a sea lion.
Oh, good.
What'd she do? She punched it in the nose, put bug in her, and she swam back to shore. And someone helped her bandage up her leg because she was got a pretty serious bite. In fact, I did some residual therapy work with her after it happened.
Well, no wonder the sea lion bit her. She punched him in the nose.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
before.
But she went right out there and swam again. She's not afraid of them, sharks or anything. She's out there practically every day swimming.
Yeah, boy.
Wonderful lady. Knew a Donald Lay, too, back when he used to come
out
here.
So I guess, obviously, you don't give a thought or a whit or any part of your DNA into the idea that someday the big one's going to hit California, you're all going to go sliding into the ocean.
I thought that the everything east of the Sierra Nevadas was going to fall into the Atlantic.
Ah, I see.
No, seriously, we are due for a serious quake out here.
Really?
No lie. You know, look what happened in San Francisco, and there's been big quakes. There's some guy who is really good at predicting earthquakes. I forget his name, but he looks at how they relate to each other, and he predicted the quake at Oroville Dam to the day.
No kidding.
Bobby Dell and I were following him. His name escapes me now, but
good for him.
We'll probably be. So you know, we had two quakes here in Montecito about a week ago. Here, very little ones, 3.2, but we felt at least one of them.
But you know, you'd have to have real quake karma to have a building fall on top of you or something like that, right? I mean, you're fine.
Yep.
You know, fine.
The
okay.
Most dangerous is when you're on, landfill. That's the most dangerous. But by the way, my high school buddy was telling me about his adventures. He worked at one of those auditoriums downtown L.A. when that big quake hit and the building fell in. One guy got his back broken. My friend was percipient enough to hide under a table and not move. And then driving home, he had to go through a broken gas tank that put a foot deep in gasoline on the highway. And he drove by where a pickup tried to pick him on the left, and the whole side of the hill caved in and took out the pickup truck, and he kept driving through that. He went over a bridge that was dropped down about a foot and pretty much messed up his car getting home. But he got home all the way to Bokeh Canyon area, Saugus by Magic Mountain. That day, and it was really terrible. The earthquake dust was flying up in the air. I was in San Francisco with my wife, who predicted the earthquake to the day at that time.
Whoa.
And so when everybody else was running out and saying, "What's going on?" I said, "She was right. She was right. She got the earthquake to the day."
That's amazing. Okay, just to wrap it up with Johnny. So if they wanted to visit you in person, what's your best email? And I'm sure that you could work something out if he wants to come, right? You could figure something out.
We do. In fact, the instructions are on solartommy.com with how to order a session.
Okay.
And my personal email is adam@solartommy.com.
Oh, that's convenient. adam@solartommy.com. And then you could work something out, whether it's the park or Oprah's back porch or something like that. You know?
Yeah, there's a really beautiful park about a couple of miles from here. That's where I go. Or if people stay, eventually I want to do some workshops here, but so far I haven't had much local results. I've been getting some things published in some of the local papers, so we're hoping to get some local business. Most of my listeners are in Australia or New York or someplace else at this time.
That's crazy.
I used to travel all the time, but I haven't done it lately. In fact, I was so will-o'-the-wisp that one time I read in a newsletter in Wisconsin, Adam Bergstrom is giving this workshop on this date. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know about it, so I guess I'll be there. So I showed up.
That's how you knew.
I read about me giving a workshop, and they never even informed me. So I figured, well, might as well show up.
That's great. Okay, this is an email from Caitlin. Let's see. Let me see if I can make this bigger. Boy, she's got a small typewriter. It's, okay. Knowing that muscles are made out of water and various gases, how could one take advantage of this knowledge to build muscle mass? Could you provide a better and more efficient way of building muscle mass? I'm not fond of the idea of eating tons of food and exercising as much as 4 to 5 times a week as recommended by the fitness gurus out there. Most modern fitness gurus claim that gaining muscle is a question of putting into the body crazy amounts of foods, reasoning that the answer to bigger muscles is represented by a higher number of calories. From Catalin, C-A-T-A-L-I-N, not sure if that's a female or male. Good question. You had mentioned, so talk about muscles. And I'm going to take notes too, because I'm on a muscle building program myself.
All righty. One of the things that disproves the calorie theory is, if calories count, why don't I just drink 2 quarts of olive oil and then I'll have all those calories and build all that muscle? Well, the truth is, if you have 2 quarts of olive oil, you're going to be sitting on the toilet all day and lose muscle mass. So calories, obviously, we're not steam engines. It doesn't matter how many, much firewood we put on and how much off. It's how efficient we use it and how much gas pressure you can generate in a muscle and hydraulic pressure as well. So you can actually inflate your muscles with gas pressure. Now, you have to eat a certain amount for the nutrients you need, minerals and things like that. But huge amounts, like bodybuilder Joe Miko, he ate so much, they said that if he had been invited to the Last Supper, it would still be going on. But that's not really necessary. To build muscle, you need to work out, and you need to work out less. One intense workout once a week will build more muscle than if you do it every other day. And twice a week is probably your better amount. You do it intensely for 20 minutes is all, maybe 40 minutes at the most as your body gets used to it. And then you just eat on time and eat protein-rich foods in time, and you'll gain muscle mass. Hello? Uh-oh. I'm gone again.
No, I left. Oh, I was on the floor doing my push-ups.
Okay.
Just kidding.
I thought
Clarence?
The NRA was doing it again.
No, the NSA. No, no such agency.
NSA, rather.
So,
wrong one.
So protein is the precipitation baby. So protein is necessary. And you're of the opinion, and much like many of the burst people that we've had of the last few years, that heavier weights at shorter times are better than smaller weights and lots of reps.
You know, the funny thing is,
probably either way, I guess.
I read at one time, I was reading 15 muscle bodybuilding books and magazines per month.
Really?
In other words, I had to go down to Hollywood to get some specialized books to read about it. And so I decided I was going to really study it from the, you know, everything I could learn about it. And I knew professional bodybuilders back in the 60s. One guy named Don Peters, you can find him on the internet, really good-looking guy, good friend of Schwarzenegger's until he Schwarzenegger slept with his wife and stuff like that, causing some problems.
Yeah, that's not good, yeah.
So, but anyway, I learned a lot about it. And with the help of Swami Nitty Gritty, I went to the gym, and within a couple of weeks, following some of his instructions, a guy came up to me, and it was my proudest moment. He said, "Are you on steroids?" And I wasn't.
What were you
I
doing?
I just followed the instructions. Number one, one of the things, a secret to putting on muscle mass, is goat cheese and Essene bread at heart time or small intestine time. The heart puts on muscle mass.
Really?
It actually is involved in muscle mass. But not exercising at heart time. Your best time to exercise if you want to bulk up is urinary bladder time between 3 and 5 in the afternoon. And if you want strength, 5 to 7 at kidney time, and that's for like power lifters and things like that who don't really want to gain muscle mass. They want to gain strength, because you can look like a fat tub of lard and still have all these strength levels. You'll notice a lot of strength athletes are pretty hefty.
However,
the guy who claimed he was a breatharian,
yeah,
he was lifting super weights too. And the Swami, what was the Swami's name that was beating all kinds of records, lifting Volkswagens and things like that at one time?
I'm not sure. That's your Swami Atlas or something. I don't know that one. So 3 to 5 in the afternoon, solar time, so you got to allow for daylight savings. Is the time to do the muscles later on if you want to do more strength. And a Essene bread, at what time? And goat cheese?
Yeah, goat cheese and Essene bread at 12 to 1 o'clock.
12 to 1 or 1 to 2.
Yeah,
without the daylight.
And other foods, you know, like sprouts and things like that have protein. You don't need that much. I didn't force feed myself. When I first started bodybuilding, on the advice of Don Peters back in the day, I brought 7 tuna fish sandwiches to work every day and ate stuffed myself. And I gained a little bit, but I realized afterwards that I didn't have to eat all that food to do it. It's really not necessary.
Really? I wonder what the goat cheese... So you'd have to eat the goat cheese and the Essene bread together? What is Essene bread? It's kind of like that non-yeast flat bread they sell in the hippie food store. It's frozen.
Sprouted bread. Ray Peter is so against grain, he says, he admits that if you sprout it, it's not toxic because the poisons are neutralized by the sprouting process. Mm-hmm. So I eat lentils now, but Vibrant Gal soaks them for me for 2 days. So basically they're sprouted when I cook the lentils.
Yeah,
and
like
that's a good protein building.
Oh, that's a good one, too. What's the best time for beans? Midday, right? Midday?
Beans are midday, too. Small intestine, heart time. That time is the best time for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And anyway, the type of exercises you do, too. What gets people in trouble is when they do like a concentration curl where they don't put a slight deviation into the muscle movement that they make. In other words, I'm lifting overhead. I look slightly to the right. And then I look slightly to the left, and then I look slightly down, and I move my body slightly. That keeps the muscles from locking up and forming muscle ruts.
Gotcha.
And anyway, you'll feel the muscle is like the pump. When a person exercises, suddenly they will swell up. The trick is to keep that pump in the body and not let it go away. That's all a bodybuilder does. He trains the pump to stay in the muscle instead of going.
How does he do that?
Without getting lewd here, it's the same principle as a man getting a hard-on. He doesn't have to build a muscle there. It's not a muscle. It's blood that inflates the erection.
So how do you keep the blood in your muscles?
That's a trick an athlete does by working out at certain times of day and certain levels. If they want to keep the blood in the muscle, bladder time is the better time to do that, between 3 to 5. Best times to exercise, there's 5 times. 3 to 5 in the morning is the best time to do light exercise like yoga, tai chi, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get ripped, like when a bodybuilder gains the mass and he wants to get ripped and cut, and they have all various names for it, that's from 9 to 11 at spleen pancreas time. Then if they want to just bulk up, that's from 3 to 5. If they want to gain strength, that's from 5 to 7. And if they want to get endurance, like for swimming and things like that, and for to store heat like Wim Hof does, best time for that is 9 to 11 at nighttime at triple heater time, which is when we have our heat available.
I see. George wants to know, he's heard about dextrosization. He loves baked potatoes, but sometimes I have a hard time digesting them at night. Can you talk about the theory, it's along here, I'm paraphrasing, of dextrosization and how to do it the very best? He says, I'm willing to bake them for as long as I need. I dislike them, but want to be able to digest them. That's what he says.
Well, it takes butter to digest them too, by the way. Otherwise, the carbohydrate even in a potato, can get in your spinal fluid in places like that. That's the butter actually blocks that.
That's not good.
Dextrinization, the best way, is a way I don't do because it takes too much time. And that's, frankly, to cook it at 180 to 200 degrees, which takes just about all day to do it in the oven. I prefer to do it about 350, and that's a secondary way of dextrinization, and it works good enough for me. If a person really loves potatoes, though, and they can't handle it dextrinized in the normal way, then they might have to do that to enjoy it. And I do have friends of mine that do it that way. They have the oven on all day, essentially, dexterizing everything they eat.
Yeah, 200. Boy, it would take a long time with a big potato. It would probably take 8 hours.
Yeah, the Essenes discovered this, because all I had to do is put it out in the desert sun, and it cooked itself, you know.
Is that what they used to do?
Yeah, they're the ones, they first discovered protein coagulation, it was called. Now, they probably didn't know it that way, but maybe they did. Mm-hmm. Some of these ancient people are a lot smarter than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But putting it out in the sun, you can actually do it. You have to be careful to have the cooking rate ahead of the breakdown rate, you know, of course. And they're related, but the cooking rate makes it more digestible. The rancidity rate doesn't.
Have you ever used one of those solar ovens? That'd be fun to experiment with and put those outside. And I think they're pretty inexpensive.
They work, and they're pretty inexpensive. A girlfriend of mine used to cook all the time with those. So I have eaten food from it. I've never owned one myself, but I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I'd like to. That'd be fun because I love potatoes, and it would be more efficient than running the we're on propane out here, big tank in the earth. If you could just let the sun cook it and just put it out there all day long, you know, and just.
It really is efficient. When I lived in Tucson, I was lucky enough to live 2 miles away from an annual solar convention. They used to have the biggest one in the country, and they had some amazing versions of ovens and cookware and things, and even air conditioning with the sun.
Yeah, I suspect that these ovens, you could probably regulate the temperature to have a low temp rather than cook it at 500. You know, I don't know. If you guys know of any really cool outdoor solar ovens that aren't very expensive, you know, you don't want to spend $300-$400 on something. That's crazy, you know, that you could go years.
I think they're a lot cheaper, and there's instructions on the internet how to build your own.
Oh yeah, I bet you could. Of course, unless you're a guy that, you know, you don't read instructions. Because we don't do instructions. I don't know about you. Okay.
I don't do them very well either.
We're gonna still do a whole little bit on with Swami Nitty Gritty, but we have so much fun talking that we're never gonna get through all these emails. Michael says, what can someone who's had several root canals do supplemental wise to try to combat the after effects? Having reverse dental work is not an option at the present time. It's so expensive. So here's somebody with a root canal that they know that they're a bad challenge, but they don't have the go power to get them done now. Something that you could suggest to help the immune system, I guess, deal with these root canals.
Eat on time.
It makes you,
instead of storing the poisons that are released, you start releasing it. Also, do some, strangely enough, open mouth breathing. Because some of the toxins come out of gases, and you swallow them. Well, you can actually blow them out of your mouth. So periodically, just go like that and blow some of the poisons out. That's one way to do it. But eating on time will tend to, as the toxin appears, it leaves. Most people, by not eating on time, store the toxin, and the longer it stays around in your liver and your gallbladder, wherever it's going to stay, usually the solid organs, the more damage it's going to do.
Mm-hmm. On the eating on time, I do a really good job with that just because it just feels right to me, and I've been hanging with you so long. But I do really well with some kind of meat, like a grass-fed meat, really, at night. But so to do that, I kind of cheat, or I'll do it before 6 solar time, and it seems to work. So I know I'm on the razor's edge there, but that's cool, right?
It is cool because I know people who follow eating on time too exactly.
Yeah.
They're like a solar Nazi. You know, they keep on doing it and actually
nothing
get
worse than a
trouble.
Solar Nazi, boy. I tell you what.
it gets them in more trouble. So every once in a while, if you have a special food that, that gratifies you, it's good to eat it once in a while. And probably I would say the healthiest way to eat on time is 80 to 90% on time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, lunar time, that's a whole week. You can actually deviate and eat your favorite foods and your pizzas and whatever you want to eat at that time. I'm so used to eating this way that I don't really do it much, but when the moon is full is when we try to visit somebody, when we're going to eat. Have to eat someplace where they're going to give us other than what we usually eat.
And plus, of the anal sphincter among us, if the midday goes until 6 p.m., I mean, you're still good, right, if you do it before 6 solar anyway, right? If you just have an early dinner, late
and
lunch.
And by the way, the best time to break down food if you want to eat something really bad is bladder time, because it's kind of the lunar time of the body. Oh. Your body will handle just about anything between 3 and 5 in the afternoon. So if you do have that food that you can't get rid of, that's the best time to dispose of it.
Oh, really? Now, I like to have berries in the afternoon after hanging out with you, and I do really well with them, even a little raw cream on top. Oh, my goodness. As a snack in the afternoon, is there any specific, is the best time or just sometime afternoons, berries?
That's the best time for berries. We've been, it's strawberry season again, so
yeah, boy.
We like it with cheese lately and a little sugar on it.
Wow, good for you. So anytime in the afternoon, the body likes berries the best, right?
Yep. We buy them on Saturday, so they last a couple of days. So for a Saturday lunch sometimes, we just have strawberries and cheese, and then we have it again on Sunday. And then then after that, we're out of strawberries. Now we're into cherries in the morning. It's cherry season.
Wow, good for you. You guys have a lot of access to good farmers markets out there, don't you?
We're really lucky, yeah. But you can be healthy if you go. A lot of supermarkets now have organic food, and it's second best. But still, you can be very healthy on it.
I have friends that go to Costco. I don't go there. It's just too far away from me. But they say they've got some of the best organic blueberries in the world, better than they find it at the hippie food store in Costco, or fresh blueberries, Costco. I don't know.
They do well. I used to get organic cheese there, organic goat cheese there.
Wow.
At a good price, and it was really tasty.
Wow. Whole Foods got a couple really cool raw organic goat cheeses, and boy, whew, man. I don't know what it is about that goatee. Is that goatee milk is just a little bit easier for humanoids to deal with?
It's actually more alkaline, there are cases when alkaline is good. Now, I like, I've been listening to Jennifer Daniels lately, and that old thing about alkalinity causes cancer, or acidity causes cancer and all that, that's pretty well untrue. Your cell is supposed to be acidic, not alkaline. Alkaline turns out to be shock and ends up opening the door for cancer. The real problem with acid alkalinity is in the local area anyway. You can't tell what's going on in a local area by checking your saliva or checking your urine or checking
you
that.
You just don't know.
That only tells the buffering system. And when a problem starts, it's in the lesion which separates itself from the buffering system, and that can only be measured with a Beckman pH meter or some kind of an instrument that can measure locally.
So that's probably why the fellow in Italy, past guest Simoncini from Italy, we had on the show. He was a trip where he's doing baking soda right at the tumor area, and he's having success right at it.
If you go locally to the tumor area, you have to be careful, because he admits that he doesn't have much success in advanced cancers, and that's because once it metastasizes, alkalinity helps spread it. But at early cancer, especially in non-spreadable tumors like bladder cancer, uterine cancer, that cancer doesn't travel by air force. It travels by infantry, so it's a very slow metastasizer. The ones to watch out with alkalinity are going to be ovarian cancer, breast cancer. Those alkalinity spreads really quickly.
Because what does metastasize mean?
Well,
it's spreading.
Metastasize means, think of acid like a table. It tends to harden things. You want to build something in your body, mm-hmm. use acids. If you want to alkalinize, it makes puddle. So it turns that solid into a puddle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need puddleization so we can rotate the cells and build new cells or rotate those cells. At an average of 7 years, though your mouth will rotate every day, your stomach every couple of days, and other parts take 10 or 20 or 30 years. But that recycling is done by the alkalinity. The balance between them both, because obviously we're not alkaline throughout the whole body. When they're talking about alkalinity and acidity, it's only the blood. But for the blood to be alkaline, the cell has to balance it off by being acidic. So, and look at the stomach. Like a vulture has zero on the pH scale where he can digest a truck.
Anything, yeah.
They can take anything.
Yeah. Hmm. Boy, I've seen the buzzards around here, and they'll pick a deer absolutely clean. Look like somebody went in there with a sandpaper, and you just see this little deer carcass. And then somebody deals with that, too. I don't know who eats that part of it, the bones, but somebody does. And not the police force. I mean, I'm talking some animal eats it. It's amazing, man. They just deal the whole thing.
They sanitize the entire area. When the buzzards are gone, then you have your plague and all those diseases spread.
Yeah.
Because any disease, rabies or whatever, the buzzard doesn't get bothered by rabies. He can eat a rabid animal. He can eat one with tetanus. He can eat one with anything. It doesn't bother him. He kills everything he eats. And he purifies the area from about a 3-foot circle around the animal, a 3-foot radius.
Amazing to watch them. And I mentioned the other day that they have manners. I mean, buzzards have manners. I see them on the pole, you know, and the buzzards will be eating, and then the one guy walks off, or two guys walk off and chew on there some food, and the other two guys fly down there. I mean, they've got manners. It's pretty amazing.
Even though when I was at that ranch, one of my jobs was to take a slingshot and scare them off of the roof because they would poop on the balcony, and the balcony to the master bedroom would be white with buzzard poop.
Yeah, buzzard poop's not good. No, it's not good.
But otherwise, it was probably very sterile.
Yeah. Is there anything one can do, writes Maggie, to nourish the retina of the eye? The retina of the eye, for Adam Bergstrom.
The berries, and again, the round spherical foods, the so-called yang. The hollow organs are yang, and the solid ones are yin. I've actually done a blog on that, something about yin and yang meridians. And so actually eating cherries in the morning and pistachios, too. You notice how a pistachio looks like an eye?
Yeah.
They work on glare. They're excellent for eyes. And then midday, the bilberry was used by pilots during World War II, but the blueberry will suffice, and so will the, I can't even think of the name of the popular berry there from Tibet and China. It's escaping me. Goji berry, thank you.
We love goji berry. Yeah.
Goji berry. They're good for the eyes.
I've got some great goji berry from Shen Blossom in a tank. Oh, man. It's amazing. What's the best time I should take my goji juice? Goji berry tincture?
That would be...
What do you think?
Heart time.
Really? Heart time?
Yeah, 12 to 1 will target the gallbladder meridian because it's a shunt to it, and you'll actually help your eyes through the gallbladder function.
Okay, so I'm going to... It'll be 12 to 1. I have to figure out... See, I need to get a second clock so I can... I can do it an hour and 20 minutes ahead. Well, I can figure it out. That would be 1:20, right, my time,
Also, a goji is a very flexible berry. Because it grows up to 10 feet tall, you can get away with eating that at spleen time. So a person that tended to form cataracts could, instead of an orange, which might be a better solution, they could take a goji berry at, say, 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, see, most of the berries grow closer to the ground, but the goji berry can get up to 10 feet tall.
Does Adam know how to get rid of a bunion on my left foot? Probably just get a divorce. No, I'm just kidding. What do you think?
Could be, but I would look at the thyroid and the parathyroid meridians. Bunions are usually formed by an imbalance between thyroid and parathyroid. So usually, what could be a specific for that? Eating on time, of course, but that's general. doing foods that support the thyroid would be a good way to also support the parathyroid. And the bunion line or the thyroid line runs from the between the big toe and the next toe down around the arch of the foot, and massaging on that level can actually work on the thyroid and then indirectly come back to help with the bunion.
Mm-hmm.
Also being careful of shoes and things like that, which mm-hmm. sometimes can be a secondary factor.
Here's an email from Ivan. Very nice fellow here. He's saying that I had a question for Dr. Daniels, and I recommended that he do, with thyroid, recommended he do the Dr. Broda, where you take your body temperature, you know, to see how your thyroid's happening. So he said he's buying a thyroid temperature or a regular body basal temperature, and he's going to check that out. He said, I've been listening to a lot of your shows that you and Adam have produced over the years, and would like to ask each what is the most amazing supernatural event you have witnessed personally that broke out of the restrictive mental programming found in most cultures, and how did witness an event or events change your daily life afterwards? Well, that's a good question for us. Wow. Did you get that? Supernatural event that you have witnessed personally that broke out of the restrictive mental programming found in most cultures. Boy, Ivan's thinking these days. What, Adam? You first. Wow.
You know, that brings me to Swami Nitty Gritty.
Well, there you go. Now's a good time to merge right into that.
Yeah, so this is kind of an involved story, but I'm going to shorten it as much as I can.
No, take your time. We have time. Don't worry.
I wanted to go back with Nitty Gritty to Texas, and at the time I wanted to do that, my driver's license was due. So I would have had to take the test if I went with him, and, you know, it would be really inconvenient. I had to go Monday, and we were going to leave Sunday. So Nitty Gritty said, you can change the course of the stars, but it's easier to change men's minds. So I went home with that, and in my mail was a notice from the Motor Vehicles Department saying, sign here, just say that you don't need glasses and send in $15. And so I did. Well, years later, when my eyesight was bad, when I was back at the ranch, I was concerned about having to wear glasses while I drove my car.
Yeah.
So I reasoned. I said, he said you could also change the course of the stars. So why don't I change the date on my driver's license? So I stared at that license, and I stared at that license for 20 or 30 minutes. Nothing happened. So I gave up. Then a month later, I tried it again. Nothing happened. And I tried again, and I said, well, I guess that was a kooky idea. So I went down to get my test very apprehensively in LaGrange, and I was concerned about it, but I thought, one last time I'm going to look at my driver's license. So I stared at it. It said the same date. So I said, okay. So I took the test, and I faked my way through it. I obviously really flunked it, but she said, that's okay. You passed. So she's filling out my form, and she said, by the way, do you know you're a year early? I said, what? And she handed me the driver's license, and the date was changed. It was now a year later that I had.
Whoa.
So she said, okay, what you can do now, come back next week. I'll save these paperwork for you. Since you need to do a change of address, too, we'll do them both, and you'll get your driver's license. So I did. But on the way home, I was in shock, frankly, because I actually changed the date on my driver's license. And I thought, are you going crazy? But then I checked the records when I got it and everything. And indeed, the date on my Texas driver's license had been changed. So that's probably the most unusual physical reality check that I've had in my life, maybe.
yeah, I get it.
That was a biggie. And I still, you know... because when I hung around with Swami Nitty Gritty, I saw him do things like make a rainbow directly behind him, command performance, earthquake hit here in Carpinteria. He stood up like Yogananda did. He had told us his story. And in the middle of the restaurant, slapped down on the table and yelled, go away and play somewhere else. And everybody in a restaurant turned around. What is that nut doing? The quake stopped, and my friend Christina Ponzo said, oh, my God, I had a dream that there was a terrible quake in Mexico. So in the morning, we got the call. There was a terrible quake in Mexico City. And we asked Nitty Gritty why he sent it to Mexico, and he said they needed the work.
Wow.
So those are the kind of things that I experienced. You know, hanging around Nitty Gritty was like a magic, like being in a fairy tale.
Yeah,
because I have many stories like that. And he was not one to, publicize miracles.
Right,
he thought
right.
It wasn't a good idea. He didn't want to be a circus performer. But when you hung around with him day to day and shared the same hotel room, drove cross country with him and spent months with him like that, you saw stuff. It was inevitable.
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw that your reality. Your turn.
And no. Before that, though, let's do some more, and then my turn. So how long did you hang around with him?
14 years.
14 years.
I met him in 1975, and as soon as I walked out of the place, I said, who was that masked man?
Yeah.
Which is my way of complimenting that I had never met anyone.
You knew something.
With such
answers
to questions that could answer that other people weren't. And by that time, I was hanging around with Adnan Sarhan, Swami Satchidananda, a bunch of those swamis. In fact, I crawled up on my knees to Muktananda with Andrew Weil back in the day.
No kidding.
We were our partners.
God.
So it wasn't like I worked in a metaphysical bookstore. Every night I went out and saw a new seance or healer all of the guys were showing up. We had the Phoenix Metaphysical Bookstore was like sponsored lectures both at the bookstore and at Unity Church and all that, or Unitarian. No, the one with the pyramid church there. I guess that's the Unity Church.
Right.
Things like that. So I got to hang out with Brazilian healers and all kinds of people. But when I met him, I knew that I had met someone special, and he was easily accessible because he didn't want to attract people. He kind of just had... We had such songs with as little as three or four people there.
Sure, sure. And then Moss is asking to talk about Adonal's diamond body or non-decomposing body. So did his body rot? What happened to it? Was he burned or buried?
You know, when I got the notice, I went into shock, and I was going to just... I was just going to hitchhike back there when someone gave me a plane fare to get back there. But when I got back there, his body wasn't decomposing in the normal way, and we had the guy that handles coroner. Thank you, Bob Riedel again.
Coroner.
The coroner was so interested, he came to the funeral because the body wasn't decomposing like it should have, and it smelled like roses. Now, I heard that someone that I know had them dig up the body to check, and that, as they said, he had lost interest in his body. But after he left, people had incidences where they claim he's still hanging around. I'm still waiting for him to walk through the wall, as he said that a true master can do.
Mm-hmm.
He said you don't need a channel with a master. In fact, Yogananda said, if anyone channels me, it's not me. And how many people have channeled Yogananda?
Sure.
I can name a lot of them.
Yeah, that's right. A real master, he doesn't need a channel, right? He just shows up.
Yep. In fact, I went to Sedona, and I was there for 1 week, and two people channeled Dono. And so I would say, okay, we had a code number to make sure it isn't another spirit. What's the code word? And, of course, that stumped him right there. But
have you had inner experiences with the Dino after his body left on the inner in dreams and stuff?
The first one is I had a friend of mine named Brad, who was a tennis player I worked on that I told you about, and he was reading about Rolling Thunder, and I said, did you get to the part where he made it rain? And he said, no, that's in the book. I said, yeah. So he went home, and that night I was really depressed. I was really missing the Dino. So I screamed out his name, and I fell down on the floor. And suddenly I heard this racket on the roof, and it was pouring. And, of course, he always would bring the rain. So it flat poured. And, of course, I had a major release. Meanwhile, at the same time, Brad was in Santa Barbara, California, and he was reading Rolling Thunder, and he got to the place where he made it rain. And exactly when he looked at that, all the rain hit the top of his roof.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, how these teachers that come, they sometimes, you know, they just leave, don't they, Adam, when it's time for them to go. And they'll create some kind of a physical thing as a reason why they go. That's what they do.
After he left, I read in Yogananda that the reason masters leave, except for people like Babaji perhaps, is because they don't want their students to get attached to them. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
All I can say is that his body wasn't decomposing at the time. And the things he could do in the physical level that I saw him bend the laws of physics. I would have said broke the laws of physics, but he said it's bend the laws. Just like if you show a native, an aborigine, a television set 100 years ago, they think it's magic, and actually it's science. It's just that it's the paranormal because they don't understand how a resistor or a cathode ray works. So that kind of thing. So the miracles that we see are really not miracles. And by timing yourself. So at one point, a friend of mine said, "You've never taken a picture. You've never taken a picture of a rainbow or created a rainbow for me, O'Donnell, my friend Jody." So he said, "Go get Adam." So she goes and gets me and said, "Bring his camera." So we line up along the pool, Jody and her son and O'Donnell. And as I focus in, he said, "No, over here, the light is better." So we get 90 degrees different on the other side of the pool, and I just see plain sky behind them. I look through my camera, and suddenly there's a rainbow directly behind them. And I came up from behind the camera, and I said, "Adano, there's a rainbow behind you." He glared at me, said, "Take the picture." So I took the picture, I took a second one, and then the rainbow disappeared. And I still have that photo, and Jody had a copy of that on that I enlarged for her that she had for years. Jody is now on cosmic vacation, but probably her son still has that photograph.
That's great. Yeah, boy. We're so blessed to come in contact with these souls. Who knows, man, about where they come from, where they're at now. But I'm sure he's still around somewhere doing his thing.
And after that, Jody would sometimes get depressed. She'd call me up on the phone, and every time she would call, a rainbow would appear.
I'll be darned.
Every time, once in Fort Worth and once in Paradise Valley, Arizona. Yeah, so I said, "You know, you got to be, someone's remembering you because I'm seeing a rainbow every time you call me." Yes. In fact, this, in Paradise Valley, when she called me and she was saying I'm depressed, I ran outside, and I said, "See, there's a rainbow out there. I knew it," I said.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And so a lot of the people who had hung around O'Donnell had some kind of grace, you know, some kind of spinoff. Mm-hmm. And what O'Donnell said is, you need a guru in the same way that you need a mother. You can't be born without a mother, and you can't go to the higher levels, particularly above the fourth chakra, without some kind of a master. If you do get through there, what's called sunyata, or the rings pass not, it's called in Western metaphysics. Usually you can't get through that. But you can get to cosmic consciousness. You just can't get to what's called God consciousness and other names.
Adam Bergstrom? And, go ahead.
I was just going to say, by the way, I've been writing a series of blogs I started about meditation on One Radio Network now with O'Donnell's direct quotes about meditation, and it's called The Spelling of Meditation, because he actually had an acronym for the word meditation, as he made everything into an acronym.
And that's on.
And by the way,
that's one of the blogs on One Radio Network. You have, or you have more than one blog?
Yeah, I'm on number two, and it's going to be continued. And by the way, he defined meditation as mental energy directing individual thought activity towards internal and intuitive observation and oneness with noumena or nature. If you looked at, that's the spelling of M-E-D-I-T-A-T-I-O-N.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's cool.
So he could instantly think of acronyms for everything. He'd say, what about mind? Moving in no direction. Anything at all, he just came up with automatically. And he could write poetry in his head automatically while he was working on someone and interpret a dream at the same time, as I've seen him do before.
That's great. Yeah.
And work at a person at a distance at the same time he was working on someone physically. So if you asked for help, he said, though, when I was with him with another friend of his, and he said, the difference between you and me and why I'm healthy and you're not is when you walk out that door, you're gone completely. When you come back, I'm with you totally. But when you're gone, you're gone. And only if you ask for help would he have any business with you whatsoever. Otherwise, most people are living in the past. You know, they're thinking about the bills they have to pay in the future or what happened with their ex-spouse back in 1982 or whatever. But he lived in the now.
Nowsville. Yeah, and as you know, a true teacher never kind of comes into your state of consciousness unless invited, you know?
Yep. And ironically, I've met four realized people, which is strange. Adano, you couldn't really pin a religion. He talked a lot about Christianity, and he talked a lot about Indian religion. Then I met Master Chen, who was obviously a Taoist. And then I met Adnan Sarhan, who was a Sufi, so he was a Muslim. And then I met Michael Shapiro, who was a rabbi. All of those are just remarkable supermen, actually. I've just never met anybody quite like them, or knew them personally. Now, Satchidananda I hung around with, Muktananda I hung around with, but I didn't get to, go have breakfast with them or anything like that.
No, I don't eat breakfast. I just live off God. I'm a God eater.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Good. So if you're familiar with Sharon Singh from Sat Mat, I did
I know Sharon Singh, yeah.
I had lunch with his brother, the captain. And Donald later said he's in California every year to keep California from sliding into the sea. And then I met his friend, George, I forget his name. He had invented 5 magnetic cars, no electricity, magnetic cars. And he was in a little health food store called Open Sesame. And when I went back to look for him, there was nothing but an empty building. He was gone. I have no idea what happened to George, whatever his name was.
What a great name, Open Sesame.
Yep, it was. And he had been sponsoring the captain into California for about 10 years. And it was a very interesting meeting. In fact, when I was with the captain, he said, don't be nervous. My brother's the God, not me.
You know, Adam, I think Adam's bringing up a good point that is relevant to all of you listening today, that I believe that spirit, divine spirit, uses all of us who are into peace, love, hippie beads and doing the right thing and being nice to people, right, and serving, right, that we all do, and that we all souls around the planet who are of a state of consciousness that we are, you know, we want to help and we're doing the best we can and, you know, we take care of our family. But I think we hold, Adam, we're also all helping to hold this whole thing together, that without this light coming through us from divine spirit, you know, Earth would be, I think, a lot worse off than it is today. That's my opinion.
You know, I believe, I learned this from Adano too, that that we all have this power. The difference was explained by Sai Baba one time when he said, I know that I'm God. The only difference between me and you is that you don't know it yet. But once you know it, it's called self-realization, not self-actualization. You don't have to do anything. You just have to realize that you are that force,
that's
that
exactly
universal
right.
force.
That's exactly right. There's no, you know, there's not one soul, not one teacher out there ever that they might have more awareness in you, but they, you have all the, we all have all the juice that they have, and you don't have to go anywhere. You know, it's like, you know, we just don't have to go anywhere. It's right here, right now, because there's this now, and it's just God's right here, and Spirit's moving through all of us just as much as John of God down there in Brazil. You can do the same thing to yourself. You don't need anybody. That's my story.
Once you notice the timing, and that's why Swami Nitigritti said that statement, the timing of the daily events of your life is the proof that creative consciousness is directing your existence. Once you look at that timing, and by the way, Paul Twitchell said, since knowledge is within you, there is always the way of knowing what is needed to know at the time desired. Exact quote from the Tiger's Fang.
That's exactly right. Now, to Adam's point, though, I think it's well taken. There are real teachers out there that are working on the inner planes with people. People, there are there, and some have a body, and some work, like my teacher has a body and also works with me on the inner planes, that when you surrender to that, and it's a state of consciousness, right? And Adam, it's not the person, you know. In Ekankar, what's the word when you people do to gurus? What's that word? I don't even know the word. So when people just go bonkers over their guru and what's the word when you just, you know?
Yeah, I think
you put them up on a pedestal, like the person is better or more whatever than you. And you know, we don't do that with Harold. Harold's just a guy, and he embodies a state of consciousness that is very expanded, that has the ability to work with all of us and anybody who wants it, because everybody has this state of awareness already. Every one of you, no matter who you are, you have it already. It's there, and it just, but when you do have a teacher on the outer and on the inner, like Adam had, you know, with the Donald Lay, or we have with Sri Harold and Ekankar, then you have, let's see, you have this state of consciousness that you can kind of work with and surrender to, and they can guide you, you know, they can help you, even though that God didn't give anything to the Tin Man that he already didn't have, right, to what you were saying earlier, but they can guide you and help you and point the way towards the light, even though they can't do anything for you. Does that make sense to you, Adam?
Makes perfect sense. In fact, Donald said, I am not your master. I have mastered myself.
Yes.
And I am here to show you that you can do it too.
That's right. That's what real teachers do.
Well, I always talk about self-healing, because ultimately, no one can heal you. Yeah. They can be a catalyst. They can tell you certain things. They can point out points. But ultimately, you have to heal yourself. And that point is really well taken in the movie Resurrection, the old... Who was in that again? Yeah, Ellen Burstyn.
Oh, yeah, I remember that movie.
I recommend that movie.
Yeah.
Because at one point when the whole healing process is explained better in that movie than elsewhere. Also, Adonis said, I'm not your master, I am your friend. It is enough that we be friends. The master is not above the student, and the student is not above the master. He was very clear about that.
That's right. The word I was looking for is worship. You know, we don't worship anybody, you know. It's, you don't worship the master. But he is called a spiritual master, just like a master carpenter. But master doesn't mean that you're the slave. It just means that, you know, he has evolved and he's good at what he's done, and he'll help you just like your teachers or Jesus or Buddha helps a lot of people, or Muhammad, right? They're all teachers, and you can get to choose whatever one works for you.
The exact spirit of Guru Nanak, I just did a blog on One Radio Network about him. He's one of my favorite characters, where he didn't want to be worshipped. He said the same thing, that I am not your master. And, of course, that got kind of crystallized into the Sikh religion ultimately, but he himself was a very unusual person. He would do things like, one of my favorite stories is he saw these people throwing water up in the air, and they said, what are you doing? We're throwing energy to the west to feed whatever the god was. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay. So he starts throwing water in a different direction. He said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm watering my farm about 200 miles away. And so he would point out incongruities like that, and he went around traveling around India and did that. There's all kinds of legends about him, but the historical Guru Nanak is of more interest to me than the legendary one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that he couldn't do miracles. I'm sure he could. But actually, as Swami Nitty-Gritty put it, a miracle is the cosmetics of the actual experience. Because being alive, breathing, we are miracles in ourselves. And that is enough. If we really appreciate our lives right now and that we have breath, that's all we need.
Yeah. And all of these things we call accidents or synchronicity that happen day in and day out, those are miracles. You know, those are miracles.
Accident comes from Aster, the stars, a very well-planned event of the stars.
Oh, I like that. Yep. That's where the word comes from.
Yeah. Yeah, AXA. AXA traces it back to Aster, which means star, like in astrology.
Yeah.
So it does have a relationship to cosmic things. You know, as Master Chen said, you have constellations that represent certain things. You have water channels on Earth, and you have acupuncture channels in the body. As above, so below. As within, so without.
It's just all one big thing, a blob of love. You know, that's what I like. It's a blob of love.
We should, as in Dripping Springs, as in Montecito.
That's right. We should do blobofloveblob.com. What do you think? We'll just do blob, blob of love.
And amen.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, Adam Bergstrom, we are out of here, man. This has been 3 hours and 4 minutes. And the NSA let us go 2 hours without...
only once.
Yeah, without stopping. I mean, I thought it was very nice of them, you know, to lengthen the time. They must be really getting into your information, because they used to cut us off after an hour and a half to redial. Now it's 2 hours. So, you know, things are moving. Things are moving.
Things are moving on.
Okay. Well, Doodle and I are going to climb in that mobile someday soon, and we're going to come out and see you guys. So be ready.
You bet. Love and hugs.
Love and hugs.
Everybody, too. Right.
Bye, Vibrant Gal. See you soon. All right, brother. Thanks. See you soon. Bye. Adam Bergstrom, Yes, No, Maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition. Oh, aren't you going to tell your story, Patrick, from John? Yeah, I'll save this email, and I'll do it. We were just going long. I didn't want to stretch your focus ability. We'll do it on Open Phone Friday. I'll save this email from this fellow, and I'll do it on Open Phones. Something, event that changed my life forever. I'll find it and put it in the Open Phones file. I love you all very much. We're going to talk to who it is tomorrow. Who did? Joel Furman. Joel Furman. I knew. Now we're going to do that tomorrow, and some other stuff.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is One RadioNetwork.com.